To hear from God today as I speak. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that we can sing these songs of worship. You alone are worthy, and we want to give you all the praise and the glory. Lord, we thank you that we can bring Bibles with us. We're privileged to have the Word of God and its truth that's available to us. And I would just want to pray for brothers and sisters around the world who don't have a Bible, that you would help them to get one. And Lord, help us to treasure your word. Please keep us and be with us for the rest of this meeting. And we thank you for Jesus. In his name, amen. So turn in your Bibles, if you haven't already, to Exodus chapter 4. I'm encouraging our youth to bring their Bibles, both the youth group and on Sundays. If you didn't know, we don't have a Sunday school for our 9 and up. So parents, if you were wondering about that, grade 9 and up, joining us here. But I won't embarrass any of our youth that don't have their Bibles. But bring your Bible to Sunday, all of us. You may wonder, what does the life of Moses have to do with me? He lived over 3,000 years ago. But in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, Paul would write, "Now these things took place as examples for us." So what's written in the Old Testament has relevance for us. God had given Moses a job to do. And back in Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, God said, "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." So more than 2 million Israelites were living as slaves in Egypt. These are God's people. He didn't want it that way. He wanted them to move back to the nation of Israel. So, God was calling Moses. He said, "Moses, this is my plan for you. I want you to do this." Then we're going to read in Exodus 4, and verses 1 to 17. You can follow along on the screen, or if you have your Bible, read along. It says this. This was Moses' response when God said, "I have this job for you." Moses answered, "But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.' The Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' He said, 'A staff.' And he said, 'Throw it on the ground.' So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, 'Put out your hand and catch it by the tail.' So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Again, the Lord said to him, "Put your hand inside your cloak." And he put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then God said, "Put your hand back inside your cloak." So he put his hand back inside his cloak, and when he took it out, behold, it was covered. It was restored like the rest of his flesh. "If they will not believe you," God said, "if they will not believe you," God said, "or listen to the first sign, they may believe the latter sign. If they will not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground, and the water that you take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground." But Moses said to the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue." Then the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak." But he said, "O my Lord, please send someone else." Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. And take in your hand this staff with which you shall do the signs." So here We're going to talk about conquering insecurity, and here we see Moses' insecurity on display. Now, insecurity is easier to experience than it is to understand. Most of us know what insecurity feels like. I enjoy playing sports, and one of those sports is the sport of ultimate. This is a fast-paced game that uses a frisbee. Sometimes it's called frisbee football. Well, myself, I've spent hours throwing a frisbee, mostly with my brothers, and I also enjoy playing this game called ultimate. In fact, we had a good game just a week ago, Friday, for our kickoff at youth group. I think I'm fairly good at the game. Others may say that too, but you should see Edo throw the frisbee. He's really good. A few years ago, though, in my late 20s, I was playing with a group of guys, and they were in their early 20s. I was playing this game. I realized partway through the game that they weren't throwing the frisbee to me, and they didn't need me to throw the frisbee to them, and that I couldn't keep up with them. I was feeling insecure. Have you ever felt like that? No need to raise your hand. But let's get a definition of insecurity. I felt it, we all feel it. In life situations, insecurity is the uneasy, unsettled, and fearful awareness, this feeling, of the gap between who I want to be and who I am. When you feel this, you're saying, I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not enough, I don't have it. That anxious, uneasy, unsettled, fearful feeling, that's it. That's insecurity. That was what Moses was feeling, and it's what you will feel sometime today if you haven't already. What do you do, though, when you feel that gap between who you are, who I am, and who we want to be? There's two unhealthy ways that we can overcome insecurity, just quickly. First, we can say, there isn't a gap. I'm going to power up over it. Going back to ultimate or sports in general, there was a time when I could play a sport for an hour and still feel good about it. But now, like I'm sure some of you, I get tired. I start breathing heavily. I get blisters on my feet, and it takes me days. Yes, days to recover after. I didn't used to take baths, but now I do occasionally. So we can say, to overcome insecurity, you say, I'm going to do what I used to do. I'm going to power up over it. Now we can do that to overcome insecurity, power up over it, or we can look at our deficiencies and not care about it. We can get passive, almost paralyzed. We can say, I don't care about ultimate anymore, playing sports. That was a different time in my life. I'm more spiritual now. I don't care anymore, and so I don't want to fill the gap. We become passive. Let's bring this away from sports. Fathers can feel this in regard to their children. They feel like, I can't be what I need to be. I feel a gap. Spouses can feel this in regard to each other. Employees feel it. Everyone feels it. Today we're going to look at Moses. He was feeling this. And we're going to walk through three expressions that we read together about Moses and his insecurity. God does answer him each time, but we're going to look at that at the end. Maybe you'll see insecurity in yourself this morning and how you can overcome it. So beyond understanding insecurity, let's look at the first expression. Moses had this pattern insecurity. He said, I'm not believable, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. The people are going to say, how do we know God called you, Moses? Weren't you that guy that murdered someone a few years ago? I've heard people talk about you. This is what we feel when we want to step out to be used by God. Moses was feeling, God, you want me to lead these people, but I know that they know that I'm far from perfect. Moses feels insecure. How is that different from how you feel as a father, for example, a father who wants to lead his family biblically and spiritually, saying, "We're going to read some scriptures tonight, but I know that they know that I'm not everything I'm supposed to be. I feel the gap, so I power up over it and do something that's not authentic, or I get passive and don't do what God wants me to do because I feel insecure. Husbands feel this. I want to pray with my wife, but she was with me yesterday, and she knows that I'm not everything I'm supposed to be for God. Moms feel it. You could say, I'd like to talk to my children about the Lord, but they were with me yesterday when I was screaming in the van. Sometimes it can be this pattern insecurity. People know who I really am. I'm not believable. Moses was feeling it, and we feel it. Some more insecurity from Moses. Performance insecurity. Moses said, I'm not capable. But Moses said to the Lord, Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. I can't talk good, God. Not in the past or since you started talking to me in the burning bush, Moses is saying. I was up for this, but I thought you were going to change me. You want to use me, but you haven't fixed me. This is a question about thinking that we're not capable. Here are two things about this. Every one of us, the first thing, every one of us has insecurities. I do get nervous coming up to speak before you this morning. Preparing a message takes time, and it's a weighty matter to speak before you. Though I remind myself every time I speak publicly what it says in 1 Peter 4. Peter says that the gifts and abilities we are given are to be used to serve one another. We are to be good stewards of God's grace. Whoever speaks should do it as speaking the very words of God. That's why it's a weighty matter. But why do we do this? Why do I speak? So that God would get the glory, it says in 1 Peter 4. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So firstly, every one of us has things about which we are insecure. Here's another thing, though. Innate capability, being born with capability, is an illusion. Innate capability is an illusion. We tend to equate effectiveness with giftedness. So we say we aren't capable. We say, I don't have what that guy has. I don't have what that girl has. I'm not born with that gift, so I'm not capable. But innate capability, being born with something, is an illusion. Malcolm Gladwell wrote this book. It's called Outliers. I haven't read it, but here's a little description. In this book, Outliers, Gladwell explains the factors behind great success. Throughout the book, he repeatedly mentions this 10,000-hour rule. No matter what the subject, music, sales, sports, computer programming, true mastery is only achieved after 10,000 hours of effort. The amount of talent that someone has does not provide any shortcut for perfecting a skill, but rather Gladwell compellingly argues that above a necessary level of aptitude or talent, the single greatest contributing factor to success is simply the amount of time that we spend working on it. Our society loves to mythologize the innate gifts, or the gifts that they've been born with, of the Tiger Woods or the Bill Gates of every field, but the most common shared trait between these types of geniuses is the tireless effort that they give to their goal. Effort, not innate ability. Moses thought that his insecurities were unique, but everyone has them. He thought that capability was inborn or innate, but it requires effort. So we've seen so far Moses had pattern insecurity, I'm not believable. Here, performance insecurity, I'm not capable. And thirdly, personal insecurity. He said, Oh my Lord, please send someone else. Now we come to the real issue. Moses wasn't so concerned about his believability or his capability. The issue was his willingness or his availability. God said, Moses, I want you to do this, to lead my children out of Egypt. Moses essentially said, no, God. Lord, please send someone else. Beware of agreeing with God in the abstract and disobeying God in the details. What do I mean by that? Let me say that again. Beware of agreeing with God in the abstract and disobeying in the details. Let me give you a couple of examples. We read in John chapter 4 that the Father is seeking true worshipers. You and I believe, we can agree, God wants us to worship. We agree with God in the abstract, but personally, how is that working out in your life? How is that working in my life? Are you a better worshiper than you were 5 years ago? Am I? You say, perhaps, I can't sing like her. I'm not capable. Or are you saying, no, Lord, I won't obey? How about prayer? 1 Thessalonians 5 says, pray without ceasing or pray continually. We agree with God in the abstract. Yes, we should be people of prayer, but we don't have time or we don't give it the time we should because we're so busy with other important things that we can't pray or perhaps we won't pray. God knows your insecurities just like he knew Moses' flaws. Do you have a sense of your own insecurities? I know I do. Are you ready to conquer those insecurities? Conquering insecurity means that you come to the place where you recognize that you're not good enough to close the believability gap, not smart enough to close the capability gap, not strong enough to close the availability gap. Those things are never going to close the gap. Only God can close the gap. A Christian can conquer insecurity by trusting in the Lord's provision of himself. Only God fills the gap so that I can be the husband and the father, the employee, and the Christian that God wants me to be. God's prescription for the gap is himself. So let's see how God answers Moses and how we together can conquer insecurity. Let's read again Exodus 4:1. Moses said, behold, they will not believe me. He says, I'm not believable. The Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? God answers very practically. What is that in your hand? A staff, Moses said. Throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground. It became a serpent. And Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, put out your hand and catch it by the tail. So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Again, the Lord said to him, put your hand inside your cloak. Moses did. It became leprous when it was pulled out. God said, put it back in, and it was restored. And then lastly, God says, if they will not believe you or listen to the first sign, they may believe the latter sign. If they will not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, you shall take some water from the Nile, pour it on the dry ground, and the water that you shall take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. Now, this passage is not teaching that we can do these signs like Moses did, but here's what God is saying to us. He's saying, I am the Lord. Tell your story about us. Moses was given some powerful signs, a stick turned into a snake, a leprous hand when he put it in his jacket, and then turning water to blood. God has done some things in your life that you don't deserve. You haven't done it on your own strength, and those are your miracles. That's your story. Becky and I spent 3 months in the winter of 2003 in Honduras. And our job there was teaching English to some Spanish-speaking kids at a mission school. We lived across the city. This was in the capital city of Honduras. We lived across the city, and it took about 30 minutes to get there. Sometimes we got a ride from the missionary. Other times, we bused to and from the school. and we had to transfer buses in the city center. One day, Becky had a migraine, so she left from the school. She got a ride with the missionary, and so I had to bus alone through this city of a million people. And so I bused from the school to the city center, and while I was getting off the bus, I was pickpocketed. About $40 in my pocket, gone, and so I needed to walk about 5 minutes to get to the next bus to go back up to our home. But I didn't have any money, so praying as I go. But I was walking down the road along a hedge, and as I turn the corner, I feel somebody grabbing me from behind, and they pulled my backpack, and I thought, oh great, I've just got pickpocketed, now something worse is going to happen. But then I hear laughter, because it was two ladies who work for the mission. They thought they'd scare me, and they did. But we had never met anybody down in this city center, but here I'd lost my money. They let me have some money so that I could catch the bus. And that was an answer to prayer. That was something that God helped me with, even though they scared me. God answered my prayer that day. I want to read just another story. There's missionaries in Peru, and this is from Missions Magazine. So this missionary is writing this. He said, it was 7:30 p.m. when my coworker showed up late for a Bible study. It was a very strange occurrence, as he was normally very punctual, especially in his culture. I was particularly concerned since I was dependent on his help as my Spanish was still broken, and I needed him to help me. So upon arriving late, this coworker explained that at his bus stop, he had found a terrible commotion. As curiosity would have it, he investigated only to find that there was a young man in a pool of blood. Though a surprise to many, this actually was a direct answer to prayer, as the man lay with a terribly mangled leg and other injuries. Upon further investigation, the man, still conscious, recognized my coworker and called to him. As he neared, he realized that this man laying on the ground was his drug-addicted neighbor. Several weeks earlier, this injured man, his name was Michael, he fell down on his knees before the only concept he knew of as God, which was a Catholic image of Jesus Christ. In tears and desperation, he cried out that if God really existed, that only God could rescue him from his disastrous life of drugs, of alcohol, wife beating, and other things not even proper to mention. So his answer to his prayer came in the form of being run over by a bus. That was his story. So when he would meet somebody and they would ask maybe about his leg, he would tell them his story. A couple weeks ago, we were visiting in North Bay at the end of the summer, and my mom asked me a bit about my testimony, and I had written something a couple of years ago, and some of the words are this, that me personally, I was rescued from a life of misery, bondage to sin, when I received the gift of God's salvation as a six-year-old boy. I attended a Christian boys' club, and during the closing prayer of one of the leaders, I can remember praying myself to receive salvation. God's provision for me was given when I expressed faith in him. It says in Romans 5, verse 8, God shows how much he loves us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for me. Jesus was nailed to a cross. He took my place so that I didn't have to pay that penalty. And you too, when you repent of sin, trust in Jesus Christ, then you can be brought into the family of God. It says in John 1, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Every servant of God has to have their story. And one thing that God provides for us is a story. What is your story? I am the Lord. Tell your story about us. Let's continue in Exodus 4, Moses saying, I'm not capable. I can't speak. The Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. What is God saying? He's saying, I am the Lord. I made you perfect for this. Who made man's mouth? I'm not talking about here problems with sin or selfish problems that we may have, but about personal shortcomings, your strength, your intellect, the way that you articulate things, your family origin, things that are beyond your control that God is using in your life to keep you humble so that you can serve others and rely on Him. We all have things beyond our control that we want God to change, but He says, you are who you were made to be. You're perfect for the job. I am the Lord. I made you perfect for this. We're going to continue. Verse 13, oh my Lord, please send someone else. Moses saying, I'm not available. God says, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. God saying to Moses, I am the Lord. I will surround you with people. Strength is not in individual people, but a team that has different gifts. I am the Lord. I will surround you with people. I will make a way for you. This church that we're sitting in didn't come about just from one man. There were many people that have gone before us that have built this place to be what it is by God's grace. And there are currently many people that are putting in time to serve the Lord in a variety of ways. God didn't ask Moses to do it all. He put people around Moses to support his insecurity. I am the Lord. I will surround you with people. And lastly, I am the Lord. I will be with you. He says, God says, you shall speak to him, that is Aaron, and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth and will teach you both what to do. Conquering insecurity, will you allow the Lord? That's what fills the gap. Only that, just the Lord, nothing else ultimately. The Lord through people, the Lord himself, the Lord is the one that fills the gap. And we won't experience that until we step out in faith. And so this morning, sharing with you from Exodus 4, conquering insecurity to fill the gap between who you are, who I am, and who we need to be. We need God himself. Only God can close the gap. So when you feel that you're not believable, God says to you, I am the Lord. Tell your story about us. When you feel that you're not capable, God says to you, I am the Lord. I made you perfect for this. And when you don't want to be available, God says to you, I am the Lord. I will surround you with people. I am the Lord. I will be with you. So trust the Lord that you can be everything that God wants you to be, and you can conquer insecurity. Thanks for staying over time a bit. Let's pray together as we close our meeting. Father, again, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the example of the life of Moses, a man who did great things for you, but he was insecure. He didn't think he could do it, and he couldn't without you, Lord. And so, Lord, help us each to realize in our relationships, family, at work, here at this church, and all over the place, that we need you to close that gap between who we are and who we want to be, who you want us to be. Lord, I pray your blessing on each one here. Thank you for the families that are here. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that works in our lives. And Lord, I pray that if there is someone here that doesn't know you personally, by faith would recognize their need of you, trust in Jesus for their salvation, the one who paid the penalty for the wrong things that we've done. Just commit the rest of this day to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. If you're new or visiting, please join us in our guest reception room, and thank you for coming this morning.